Well, guys, I don't think anyone could have predicted that one.
Well, you did.
Well, I predicted half of it.
The second half, not the first, obviously. No, it was a strange, strange game. It started looking like a blowout for the Patriots. They march right down the field, 90 yards, easy, touchdown. And then they bogged down, they're turning the ball over, and you start to think, could the Bills really blow the Patriots out? If they punch that in at the end of the first half, all of a sudden it's 21-7. Who knows how that game turns out? And then they take the 21-7 lead, and then all of a sudden the floodgates open and the Patriots start setting records with 45 points in the second half.
You know, from the beginning of the season, I've been a little bit concerned about the offense. And really, you know, even Tom Brady has. He's talked about execution, not being able to execute, constantly shooting themselves in the foot. And in that first half, that's the first thing that came to mind, is this is just a continuation, and in worse ways, even worse than what we've seen, of a team that is not able to execute properly on offense. But then, I don't know what happened in that second half, but they just flipped the switch, and they were almost flawless.
Well, I agree with you about the first half. I thought in a lot of ways it was even worse than it was in Arizona, because the Arizona game, you know, they just weren't playing well, and I thought the defense had a lot to do with that. I thought the Cardinals really forced the Patriots out of their rhythm. That's not what I thought happened. I thought, as you said, Freddie, I thought it was a lot of stuff. The Patriots just weren't executing. They were dropping passes, fumbling the ball, two fumbles in the first half, very uncharacteristic. To me, it was the Patriots again. Then you miss two field goals, and all of a sudden, like Andy said, you're on the road and you're in a two-touchdown hole, and you're starting to panic. But then, you know, all of a sudden, all of those mistakes just completely disappeared. And once it got rolling, Buffalo was just powerless to stop.
You know, and it wasn't like, you know, the Patriots were torching them or running. They were doing both. But I think it started with the run game. You know, Logan Mankins is out of the game. We figured, offensive line could have trouble. It was the exact opposite. I mean, even in that first half, when they weren't executing mostly in the passing game, they were still running the ball well, and then they just completely dominated from that point on.
Well, if you're a Bills fan, when you went to bed Sunday night, you had to be pissed off at that defensive front, because that's supposed to be the strength of your team. I mean, not only the ends, which are sort of the glamorous positions, okay, $100 million, but you get a first-round pick in Darius. You have Kyle Williams, who's like this underrated Pro Bowl-type defensive tackle, and they got killed, and not by Logan Mankins. You know, this is Donald Thomas, Ryan Wendell, and Dan Conley. It's not exactly the greatest offensive line ever. And they go out there, and you're right, they established the run. 200-yard rushers. They ran left a lot. They scored touchdowns left. Clearly, they ran at Mark Anderson. But it was the opposite of the Arizona game, the other game actually where Donald Thomas played.
It's a little less clear-cut when we start talking about the Patriots' defense. I mean, yes, they only gave up 28 points. Yes, you know, they got their...
Whoa, did you say only 28
only
points?
Only
when you score 50.
Well, I'm just... you didn't let me finish. I said, you know...
No, you said only. I stopped you at the bad word.
You know, even with the turnovers... You know, they held things in check. They started off all right in that first half. Started in the middle, I'd say, end of the second quarter into the third quarter. You know, it was back to that defense that we were worried about. But at the end of the day, you know, they made some stops. They did give up over 400 yards in offense, so that's not a good thing. McCourty, though, focusing on him specifically, two interceptions. He held on to balls that other games he's dropped. You know, what does it say about his play so far?
Well, I think it was a good confidence boost for him, because I know that he was sort of, he kept talking about not losing any focus, not losing faith, but it had to be creeping into his mind. He had a couple of chances to make plays against Baltimore. He was able to capitalize on those this time around, and I know he got beat on the deep ball in the first one, but he took advantage. I mean, it was a bad throw. He took advantage and made a nice play on the ball. These are the kinds of plays we saw as a rookie when he showed good ball skills.
I think he had an early tackle for loss as well, so he continues.
I think he's always been a pretty good tackler for the most part.
Continues, you know, to do really well. That front seven, though, I think, you know, we talked about, or you guys talked about in the beginning of the season, about we want to see this young defense not just, you know, play well, but make plays. I think that's what we saw.
No question. I still have doubts. You talk about 400 yards and points. They're not stout. They're not going to shut people down every week. But if they can make plays with the kind of offense they have, that's probably going to be enough most weeks. And they made plays. Vince Wilfork, you start right up front. Another time where he just wows you. That is one of the best hits you'll ever see, and from a nose tackle, no less. But he got his hand up early, turns into an interception on a deflected ball, and then Brandon Spikes, just totally an impact player. He is the guy that, in my opinion, kept this game from getting out of hand by that hit on the goal line where he forces the fumble, changes the whole complexion of the game. As Bill Belichick said, you could have been knocked out there. They kind of had you on the ropes there.
Absolutely. You go into the locker room 21-7, and then if they score the first touchdown like they did.
Turn out the lights.
Right. So that was a huge play. Hightower, before he got hurt, nice tackle for a loss, chasing down Fitzpatrick. So I really love what I see from this all-SEC D that you call.
Individually, I'm really excited about the defense. Yeah. McCourty, Spikes, Mayo, Hightower, Jones, Wilford. Now they just need to bring it all together as one cohesive 11-man unit to cut down on the yards allowed, to cut down on the points allowed.
I love the front set. I love the two guys in the middle. To me, that was the biggest difference. I thought against Baltimore, Love and Wilfork weren't quite their normal selves, and they allowed Ray Rice, I thought, to continue to be part of that game. Well, they didn't really allow Fred Jackson to do that and C.J. Spiller, and I know they probably benefited from both of those guys being less than 100%, but to me it was a night and day difference with the way they owned the line of scrimmage in this game compared to Baltimore. We've been saying it so often, it's almost become a cliche, but when Brandon Spikes can stay healthy, stay on the field, and be a part of this defense, we're starting to see the impact that he can make. He is the best run stopper the team has, and he hits like no other. This is a guy who loves to play downhill, and those two hits on Sunday really, I thought, changed the whole complexion of the game, especially the first one on the goal line. This is the kind of impact he can have. But again, you gotta keep him on the field and healthy, because when he is the best run stopper New England has. Now, the other guy to me that stuck out on Sunday on defense is Vince Wilfork, and this is no surprise. These are the kinds of things that he's done really throughout his time here since 2004, but he continues to impress me with his athleticism for a guy that size. And we saw the interceptions last season. Well, on Sunday, to me, the hit on Darnell Jones over the middle is another thing that I've never seen a guy of that size do around the NFL. To read a middle screen the way he did and to come and lower a textbook, just a perfect hit on Jones to knock him not only down but out of the game, that's Vince Wilfork, guys. And this is the kind of athleticism he has. The guy is just a freak, and he continues to do things we've never seen before. Switching over to offense, there's a trend that's developed over the first month of the season that I found interesting. And that's the Patriots trying to get Rob Gronkowski deep down the field. Anytime you get the ball to Gronkowski, to me, that's a good play. I think he does everything well. He's a great blocker, a great receiver. So I have no problems with trying to accentuate him in any regard. But it's clear that Josh McDaniels and Tom Brady want to get him deep down the field. They almost hooked up for a touchdown against Arizona right here at Gillette Stadium. And last week in Buffalo, they did connect for a 41-yard play. But I'm not sure that getting a 260, 270-pound guy deep down the field is the wisest course of action. I'd rather see him sort of in the middle of the field between the hashes on those deep seam routes, but clearly this is something to keep an eye on.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
You know, offensive linemen, we always love running the ball, but I don't care how we score, as long as we score.
New England Football Night is presented by AT&T, the nation's fastest mobile broadband network. Putnam Investments celebrates 75 years of pursuing performance excellence. Putnam is a proud partner of the New England Patriots. Images of the Week, brought to you by Jack Daniels. Drink responsibly.
Boy, this week's Images of the Week, I think our photogs had one of their best days ever. This first one is the offensive line. I give them the game ball. Here's that big hit that Vince Wilfork laid on Donald Jones. That was unbelievable. And finally, this is Brandon Lloyd's touchdown. Keith Nordstrom took this picture, and I think it's going to win an award.
Player Perspective, brought to you by Putnam Investments.
Joining me now in the Patriots locker room is starting center Ryan Wendell. Ryan, let's start off first with what I just called you, starting center. You're a guy that's worked your way up here with the Patriots, started out undrafted practice squad. What does it feel like now that you're out there every week and competing and helping this team win?
I'm happy just to, you know, have a role on this team and be able to go out every week and try to help the team win. And whatever that role is, you know, I'm really happy to have the opportunity.
You must have been exceptionally happy on Sunday. The offensive line, obviously a big part of the win in Buffalo. You guys were able to rush for almost 250 yards. Is that one of those things as an offensive lineman? You don't have a lot of stats. You know, you don't have a football card with stats on the back. Do you sort of rely on, okay, we had 250-yard rush, and that's my stat?
Well, for us, I mean, I think we just try to go out and win. That's the biggest stat that we're trying to get every week. And how we do it or how it happens, you know, that's just different games. It just happens differently. It's a lot of fun to run the ball. You know, offensive linemen, we always love running the ball. But I don't care how we score as long as we score.
Is that an ego boost? Is that kind of just old school football? You say you like to run the ball. That's kind of man on man, and I'm going to impose my will on the guy on the other side of the ball.
Yeah, and that's why we started playing football when we were kids, and it's fun to get out and be able to play like that.
But obviously a big part of your job is also mental. As the center, there's a lot of calls. Just take us through that, kind of what you do on a play-by-play basis in terms of the mental aspect.
Every play is different, you know, and for the most part, you know, my job is just to make sure that I communicate well with the guys next to me so that we can all see the game through the same set of eyes.
And is that the most important thing on the offensive line, is five guys seeing everything the same, getting the calls the same, and running the same play the exact same way?
Yeah, I think it is. You know, you can't have four guys doing one thing and one guy doing another thing. So we always try to work on our communication to make it as best as we can.
Sort of an interesting matchup this week, obviously, with the Broncos. It's, you know, Peyton Manning is going to kind of be a big story. But from the Patriots' perspective, a guy you played behind and probably learned from over the years, Dan Copen, is probably going to get the start at center for the Broncos. What did you learn from him as a Pro Bowl center that you kind of watched in practice every day?
Copen's a great guy, great player, you know, a pro. And he's a good friend of mine. But, you know, it's the NFL, and guys move from team to team all the time, so there's plenty of guys that do that. But basically from him, you know, I just saw what a starting center is supposed to be like.
Denver Broncos come to town, and the first thing you think about is obviously Peyton Manning, a new place, but you also have to think of another veteran in Denver. Willis McGahee off to a great start for the Broncos, 4.7 yards a carry, looking for his back-to-back 1,000-yard season in Denver, two in a row. Patriots defense need to stop the run. They've been too inconsistent this year, coming off a good performance against the Bills, 3.6 a carry for Buffalo. We can't have the Ray Rice run defense Patriots had a couple weeks ago. They need to shut down Willis McGahee to help out the pass defense. If that run defense can get the job done, now we flip to the pass defense, and the pass defense in the middle of the field. Peyton Manning has always liked to throw the ball in the middle of the field. Eric Decker, his leading receiver with the Broncos, does a lot of his damage in the middle. Jacob Tammy, a guy he brought over with him from the Colts, another guy, tight end, middle of the field. New England safeties didn't have their best game last week against the Bills. They need to step up the pass defense. Arrington, McCourty get it done on the outside, but it's up to the linebackers and the safeties to get the job done covering the middle of the field. The formula for winning for the Patriots has been simple. Run the ball well. First week, 100-plus yards for the offense on the ground. They beat the Titans. Couple down weeks for the running game, wasn't as productive per carry. Couple losses last week, huge game on the ground. 200-yard rushers, 240 yards rushing. It's simple. Be complimentary, get the ground game going early, and Denver is a team the Patriots can run on. Two meetings last year, over 140 yards rushing in both, one in the regular season, one in the postseason. Doesn't have to be record-setting, doesn't have to be a pair of 100-yard rushers, but get Ridley going, get Bolden going, and then open things up for Tom Brady through the air.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
I say it was a forced turnover. You say it was a mistake by Buffalo.
No, you just ignore the fact that the guy dropped the ball.
Patriots Football Weekly, brought to you by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Around the NFL.
Have you noticed this year in the NFL that there's more finger pointing about one team saying and another team is playing dirty? I mean, for example, and I wrote this down because I know I'll forget. The Texans have accused the Titans. The Ravens have accused the Eagles. The Browns have accused the Ravens. RG3 accused the Rams last week of playing dirty. And everybody accuses Richie Incognito of playing dirty. So what does it all mean? Does it mean the league's getting dirtier? Actually, I think it's the opposite. I think the league is getting less dirty, and when these things happen, players are willing to speak up about it. So, good job, NFL.
Well, it certainly was great to have those real officials back out on the field this week after 3 weeks of the replacement guys, because we didn't see any missed calls. We didn't see any fumbles that were missed. We didn't see any bad pass interference penalties. You know, we didn't see any extra plays handed to teams because Joe Thomas took a flop. Oh, wait a minute. We saw all of those things. Check that. But here's the thing. You know what we really didn't see this week? We saw a lot of missed calls, but we didn't see the hue and cry after the game from the media telling us how bad everything was. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing for everybody involved. It's a good thing for the NFL. It's a good thing for the officiating. No more whining about all the missed calls. The NFL is better today than it was in the first week of the season.
Santonio Holmes is the perfect Jet. You know why? Because he is one dumb football player. Did you see it on Sunday? He gets hurt. He has a foot injury. I'm not going to question the injury. But before he goes to the ground, what does he do? He throws the football up in the air because he's in pain. And, of course, the defense caught the ball and returned it 50 yards for a touchdown in an embarrassing blowout loss for New York that was symbolic of the day. Holmes, what are you doing? The only other person I've ever seen do something like that was actually in this very stadium. Patrick Pass had a hamstring injury. So, naturally, he grabs the injured area. And what happens? He drops the ball because he used the hand that was carrying the football. You can't do that on the football field. As Bill Belichick would say, most important thing is ball security. I don't care if you're hurt or not. I've seen guys tear ACLs, they go to the ground, and then they let go of the football. Santonio Holmes, you're a Jet. You know what that means? You're an embarrassment.
Trash Talk. Brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter. Dumpster in a bag can take it on. Visit thebaxter.com for more info.
The Patriots forced 6 turnovers on Sunday. Has the defense turned the corner? Or is there still work to be done?
Yes, they've turned the corner. They've turned the corner into playmakers. 6 turnovers last week, and as Fred would say, Brandon Spikes is now the fist of this defense. Every time he's on the field, good things happen. We saw that last year. Now he's just on the field every week. You have McCourty taking advantage of his opportunities. You have a pass rush. This is a young, budding, playmaking defense. Keep your yards. I'll take the plays.
Yeah, it's not about yards for me, but they're still allowing too many plays. The 68-yard touchdown is first and foremost in my mind. For a defense that prides itself on keeping everything in front of them, I thought they had too many opportunities on Sunday where they let Ryan Fitzpatrick get over the top. And to me, even one of the interceptions was a potential play that could have gone over the top. So the turnovers are great. I like the playmaking. I agree with you, Andy. Plays, if they can continue to make plays like that, that's a good thing. But I think it's a dangerous way to play defense.
We've seen this team make plays all year. All year. I'm even giving consideration to the ones McCourty say drops. That's a potential play. You're in position to make a play there. We saw it in the summer. The young guys, Hightower, Jones, they bring something off the edge. I think even Patrick Chung is a guy who's instinctively a playmaker around the football. Vince Wilfork, we have the opportunity to make plays here. And it is. They didn't do that in the past. I don't want to care about the interceptions or anything you tell me they had last year. They didn't make a lot of plays on defense last year. They let teams drive up and down the field and score points. Now I think the other teams actually have to consider they could take the ball away from us. They could force us into a turnover.
Well, on Sunday, I think that was the case. They forced a couple of those turnovers. But I still want to see that on a consistent basis before I said this defense has turned the
strip
corner.
Strip sacks. Tavon Wilson's had his hand on balls every game this year.
Listen,
Chandler Jones has been
some of those,
getting to the quarterback.
Some of those turnovers that they've had have been like the ones that you just completely dismissed from last year. I think this is a defense that has to create those turnovers, because if they don't create a lot of stops. I'd like to see things get tightened up. I'm not looking for perfection, but 28 points and 400-plus yards and
allowing four
touchdown passes from a jag like Ryan Fitzpatrick still concerns me.
It was a shootout. It was a different kind of game. There were turnovers.
Yeah, and there's too many shootouts that involved the New England Patriots.
But they were usually shootouts without turnovers. You don't turn that corner. We said it in the morning meeting. The reason this changed is because you stopped turning the ball over, but your defense kept turning it over. And that's how this team is going to be good on defense. They're not going to be, oh, we held them to 142 yards. That's not going to happen.
It's got to get better, though,
Andy. If you're looking
for
perfection with this young unit, when you have this many young and new players on a team, you're not going to get the Baltimore Ravens 2000. You build towards something like that. You hope you get that 2 to 3 years from now. Right now, you have to be happy to take the plays that they didn't make in the past and they are making now.
And I'm happy with that. I just need to see some more. I want to see this defense. And maybe I'm asking for too much because there's many new guys and so many young guys. But to me, if the other team doesn't make a mistake, this team is in trouble. And I think that remains every bit as true today as it did last year.
I don't think C.J. Spiller made a single mistake. He tried to punch it in from the goal line. His mistake was he ran into a brick wall.
But it all depends on how you look at that. You got to hold on to the football.
Yeah, you're negative, I'm positive. I say it was a forced turnover. You say it was a mistake by Buffalo.
Well, you just ignore the fact that the guy dropped the ball. I mean, you can't let that happen.
I'll let Brandon Spikes hit you like that, and you'll drop more than the ball.
Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Roach Brothers Tasty Tailgating, official tailgate partner of New England Football Night. Read and React, brought to you by Yokohama. Yokohama, technology drives better tires.
All right, now it's time to take the questions that you sent us at askpfw@patriots.com. But first, we've just completed four games in the NFL. That means it's the introduction or the debut of the Wilson-Hart Power Index, the only index that doesn't take into consideration one loss. Andy Hart, why don't you?
I like to look at it as the only index that takes all the important stats into consideration, and that's what the Wilson-Hart Power Index does. And no surprise, though, the teams that win the most games, Fred, are atop the index. You have the Houston Texans, spent most of the year in first place in the index last year. 4-0 start, back up there again. Atlanta Falcons, the number two slot, 4-0. Patriots come in at number seven, the top-ranked win with two losses to this point. And to prove that it's not just wins and losses, at the bottom, the 0-4 teams are 25th and 28th. The 32nd-ranked team is the Kansas City Chiefs at 1-3. So it's not just winning and losing. It's how you play the game.
It's an exclusive index you can find only on Patriots.com,
right?
That's true. All right, so let's get to your questions. The first one comes from George, and he says, seems like the safe bet would be to let Hernandez heal until the break. Is that too conservative?
If he's ready to go in 2 weeks, there's no sense of sitting back and saying we got to wait till after the bye. I think that that's a reasonable possibility that it could be that long. But to me, it's all about Aaron Hernandez. And when he's ready to go, I don't think Belichick likes to hold guys back, you know, because I don't need him, quote unquote, in this game and I might need him after that game. When Hernandez is ready to go, he'll be back on the field.
Okay. Ryan writes in, and it's about Steven Gostkowski, Andy. He says, is he slumping or is it an issue of the snapper holder or a combo of everything?
Well, Bill Belichick is a big believer it's everything. It's a combination. It's the three phases. I think Gostkowski's in a little slump right here. I really do. And I think it happens to all sports, especially these real specific skills where it's one motion, one guy, and you're off just literally a fraction of an inch, and that throws everything, whether it's putting or kicking field goals, all the various aspects. And I think kickers are head cases by nature. They spend a lot of time by themselves. You know, they've set up the tee with a little, and they're just kicking into a net. And when it's off, I think it's hard sometimes to come out of it. And when you miss a game-winning type kick, as he did here at Gillette Stadium against the Cardinals, I think that, too, can sometimes have lasting effects. So I think this is a slump, but one that I think he can pull out of. He's a very young, talented guy. I think he'll be back, and he will be an asset at the end of the year.
Okay. Well, if you have a question, send it to askpfw@patriots.com.